Welcome once again to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of Scriptures. Good day, this is Pastor Mark Downey, and I know there's been a long delay since our last audio message. As some of you know, our computer crashed and we lost everything. But now we're back in business and ready to bring you more audio messages. So today's message is entitled, The Mind Control of Obama Nation. This will be a theocratic dissertation on the saturation, marketing, and brainwashing leading up to the 2008 presidential elections. Never before has there been such intense daily coverage of these Republicrat losers vying for the so-called highest office in the land, nor exorbitant record millions of dollars being spent to mold your mind like silly putty. Some change agents, think tanks, came up with an evil stroke of genius to plant the idea of a Negro occupying the Oval Office at about the same time Americans were bushwhacked with a second term of the lowest-rated president ever in the history of polls. Is it just a coincidence that George W. Bush is portrayed as a mix of buffoon and war criminal, and that anybody would be better than this politically challenged psychopath? Will future generations read in disbelief about this time in history where the Republicans' best shot was a Manchurian candidate with the beginning stages of Alzheimer's? Well, guess who's coming to dinner at the White House? Mongrel hordes of jungle communists, that's who. It's been a long time coming, baby, but now the mantra of racial equality is coming home to roost. And you know, the propaganda began in earnest several years ago with the popular hit TV series 24 with Kiefer Sutherland playing a counter-terrorist kind of swashbuckler who saved the life of President Palmer, who was a Negro with the kind of leadership that would have made Nimrod proud. However, he was assassinated at the end of the season. Now, if that wasn't enough post-hypnotic suggestion, the Jewish producers had Palmer's brother as the next black commander-in-chief. It's a perfect setup for Americans to be preconditioned to accept the very idea of a Negro president. Enter Barack Hussein Obama II, riding in on the shirt tails of primetime fiction, life imitating art. And in real life, it's just in time to bring in change you can believe in if you've been adequately brainwashed. It's just in time to save us from another no-win Vietnam War or World War III in Iraq and Iran, and a fossil fuel economy that is foreclosing on millions of homes and businesses. But friends, let's not fool ourselves. This didn't happen overnight. Since the 1950s, with the liberalization of race mixing and miscegenation, especially in the military, and then the Civil Rights Act of 1964, we have begun sliding down the slippery slope of transforming America away from white rule. Now, the devil of political advertising is the selling of sugar-coated evil. The satanic commercial cleverly tempts you to choose between the lesser of two evils. The science of mind control is making you think there is no other choice, when in reality there's a cornucopia of alternatives. How we are being fooled left and right is a fact that even a blind man should be able to see in the dark. Indeed, Negroes have risen to positions in Congress, the Supreme Court, the Cabinet, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, state governors, and major city mayors. They shall become the head, and you shall become the tail. Deuteronomy 28:44. And it just didn't come about by phony, nonviolent civil disobedience of communist agitator Martin Luther King. The NAACP was largely directed, funded, and controlled from the beginning by Jews. It's quite a phenomenon to witness accomplished hypocrites exploit the black civil rights movement, deriving enormous benefits to exercise Jewish power while at the same time extracting billions of dollars in foreign aid each year to terrorize indigenous Palestinians. Obama is their new poster boy. A unilateral race war has been raging for the last 30 years, in which there have been over 1 million white victims of black rape, murder, and felonious crime. Now, these statistics are available through the Department of Justice. In the year 2005, black offenders committed 37,460 rapes or sexual assaults against our white women. The same chart shows that whites committed zero, in other words, zero to less than 10, statistically, sexual attacks against black women. An affirmative action president will not subside the savage attacks against our people, but it will subsidize an even greater leniency in the criminal justice growth industry for what only comes natural to the majority of Africanus Americanites. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, Matthew 11:12. When God's people Israel, that is the white race, violate his laws, they are judged. We have transgressed Deuteronomy 17:15. Quote, thou may not set a stranger or racial alien over thee, which is not thy brother, end quote. Only those of our race may we choose to be king or president or dog catcher for that matter. Today's 501c3 churches teach a false Christ and cause whites to be, as the Bible says, mingled among the heathen and learning their works. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Our people can only be corrupted by other races if they are in proximity to them. Jeremiah 10:2 says, learn not the way of the heathen. In fact, they should not be in proximity to us for good reason. Exodus 23:33 says, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. We don't have the option to choose those outside of our race according to God's law. If we do, it's sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. The penalty for this national sin is equal to the desires of the people's heart. If you recall what happened in the wilderness, it will be quail instead of manna. Therefore, God will determine who will rule over them regardless of elections and set up the basest of men. Now, I used to think that these basest of men were the scum of the earth, but scum floats to the top. They are, in fact, the sludge, the bottom of the barrel. And we are punished with this type of inferior leadership when we turn away from the government of God. Selective omissions of racial truths abound. On the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., our third president is quoted in regards to the Negro with the following. Nothing is more certainly written in the Book of Fate than that these people are to be free. The rest of his original unengraved statement declares, nor is it certain that the two races equally free cannot live in the same government. Likewise, the overly exalted emancipator and 16th president, speaking of Negroes, said, I will say, then, that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races. That I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And I will say in addition to this that there is a physical difference between the white and black races which will ever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. And inasmuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be the position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any other man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race, end quote. Now, this was by Abraham Lincoln in his sixth debate with Senator Douglas in Quincy, Illinois, October 13, 1858. Now, Obama says he's a Christian, but obviously does not observe God's law by the sad fact that he's a senator from Illinois, voting on legislation that will affect white constituents. You can imagine how much more a Negro, as the top executive, amplifies the violation of God's prohibition against non-whites ruling over us. Obama's minister, the not-so-Reverend Jeremiah Wright, was inadvertently correct in saying, "Goddamn America." Now, there's an overabundance of things we should be condemned for. And having right behind the pulpit in America is wrong. This country is out of order with the Word of God and is under divine judgment for it. Make no mistake about it. And the electorate wants to pour gasoline on the fire? And with exorbitantly high gas prices at that? But it's only through the expertise of psychological warfare and the fulfillment of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion that drops our defenses and allows the stranger or racial alien to become our rulers. Saturation propaganda is designed to eventually erode the racial integrity of our spiritual foundations, to devastate white Christian America. It wasn't until the not-so-Reverend Jesse Jackson muttered unknowingly into an open microphone that he thought Obama was talking down to blacks, and he said, "I want to cut off his nuts," that I was inspired to write about this subject. Now, it's not the graphic notion of emasculation that opens the doors of perception as to what's really happening, but the exposure of a rift in the black community. The descendants of Jewish slave traders would have us believe that Obama has the momentum and solidarity of the colored vote to win. Surprisingly, I've even heard from some white nationalists who trudgingly surrender to the yet unhatched proposition that Obama will win. Now, this is getting caught up in the media frenzy of somebody else's movement. It's the stuff of self-fulfilling prophecy. And Proverbs tells us, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, Obama has the cocky confidence that he will become the head, and our people have the dismal outlook of becoming the tail. White power, on the other hand, is positive Christianity. That means that no non-white will ever become the head in our heart and mind. It is a political fiction that a majority of society has a right to deny one white man his God-given rights. And the essence of mob rule is the worship of the golden calf, which rears its ugly head throughout history and has always been opposed to the sovereignty of God. However, the rift between Obama and Jackson, which we got a glimpse of, goes back to the days of slavery where you had either field niggers or house niggers. The ebonic tongue Jackson, who ran for president, just didn't have a warm and fuzzy rapport with white voters out in the field as the silver tongue Obama enjoys with his liberal House Democrats and the latest crop of students having 12 years of politically correct indoctrination who are ready, willing, and able to vote for self-destruction. Even Ralph Nader had a lucid moment accusing Obama of trying to talk white, appealing to white guilt, and that Obama, quote, is not going to threaten the white power structure. Nader qualified that power structure as oligarchic, a far cry from Rockwell's white power. Well, this is all in accord with the political hypnosis of elitist programmers, who in turn are controlled by the master programmer who knows the beginning from the end. I don't think God could drum up much baser sorts of men than Obama and McCain to replace the low-function brain of Bush. But God knows better than me as to just how low America can go and get the reciprocal leadership that it deserves. The daily dose of incessant media whores limits the theatrical actors on stage to the two-party system and will never suggest the rigging of elections, known as vote scam, through questionable computer voting machines where the software is irresponsibly unaccountable. So even if Obama was vote scammed into office, the American public has already been mentally conditioned to accept its first black president. As long as our people continue to tolerate such an abomination, God will give the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers and the rest of the one-worlders a green light. We have to go to the root of the problem, and it is spiritual. When we observe what happened to South Africa, we can see that the white churches lost their Christianity and ushered in with open arms the black rule of ANC communist terrorist Nelson Mandela, with his Jew handler Joe Slovo lurking in the shadows pulling the strings. There are very few white Christian churches left in America. They have become mongrelized Hindu temples dedicated to Baal worship. There's the change you can tie their last Federal Reserve note to, the Church of the Tail. The change has already happened. The transformation has gradually been browning America for decades. White children are becoming wiggers, emulating beast-of-the-field gangbangers. There is no other cultural cancer on earth as found in the half-breed mongrel mix promoted and celebrated by the Satanic Antichrist Jew Catholic Consortium. This is the fusion of universalist rivers flowing into a final sea of mystery Babylon, like the United Nations, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters or people. Although God's remnant of racially aware believers may lament over the sorry state of affairs, it should come as no surprise that the multicultural superhighway is paved with good intentions, albeit the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the white race, are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, as the Talmudic instructions were so proficiently executed in South Africa, now the murder capital of the world. You can multiply the Obama bloodbath by 100 if you want or expect a black presidency. The change is as predictable as the aftermath of apartheid's demise. Christians have another kind of change, and it's called repentance. But they have to maintain the facade that there is harmony between the new generation of Negroes who have learned how to speak like a white person and the old generation exuding typically low IQ and substandard syntax. But Jesse let the cat out of the bag. The leopard cannot change his spots. The Negro cannot change his proclivity for violence, no matter how well-groomed and coached he is like an Obama. The statistical curve is already a reality, with the ratio between multiculturalism and crime spiking. It is God's cause and effect for disobedience. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, I'll answer that. It's because white people are fooled into thinking there will be no repercussions under black rule. multiply Nicole Brown Simpson by a million. There will be hell to pay, for God is not mocked. His law says, thou may not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. America was founded as a Christian nation by white people, and there were no black elected officials anywhere in the colonies. Geraldine Ferraro, who ran as a vice presidential candidate with Walter Mondale back in 1984, took umbrage to the Obama statement, our time has come, suggesting that the time for white rule is coming to an end. Her politically incorrect observation that the trendy Obama is, quote, very lucky to be who he is, in other words, not white, and the country is caught up in this concept, end quote, reflects the Democratic form of political hysteria. Even a liberal white Democrat is consternated at the prospect of supporting their own second-class citizenship. But can they imagine a third world riot in their town? Hey, not in my town. Christian identity is not fooled by the perfumed manure of the 2008 presidential elections. There is not one TV pundit who is allowed to speak the truth about what a sham and abomination the political process has become. I've noticed that some bloggers have combined Obama and nation to have a similar ring to abomination. Abomination in the Bible means mixing the holy with the profane. It is God who calls his people, the white race, a holy nation. In other words, a pure race. Any admixture is contrary to divine intent. How well we can understand Christ's rebuke. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he is made, ye make him twice the child of hell than yourselves. With the millions of deceived voters who believe the gods of CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. Well, there's a fox in our national hen house, and it's not there to protect us. It's there to kill us. The media whores and pulpit pimps who pontificate and preach race mixing and talk about Obama nation every single day are talking us to death. The wages of sin is death. Who will stand in the gap and raise up a hedge against this Antichrist campaign of calculated disinformation? Well, I'll tell you who. It'll be the invisible priesthood of truth, the way, and the life. Now, there's many voices crying in the American wilderness that have put on the full armor of God, impervious to the fiery darts of the wicked, whose word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And together, the shepherds of Christian Israel shall speak in unity, saying, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Now, if Obama is as sharp as they say he is, then his leadership would be a wonderful export to his father's homeland in Kenya. The Negro visionary Marcus Garvey had a dream to return his people back to Africa. After all, God has set the bounds or boundaries, that is, the national borders of his own people, which did not include other races then or now, for the simple fact that race mixing always, always led to law mixing. So why not return non-whites to the jungle and the law of the jungle? Quote, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods or alien laws. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Thus, the push to eradicate borders by anti-nationalists, anti-Americans, and anti-Christians. Are we a nation or race which the Bible says is void of counsel and without understanding, whose only choice is between a head and a stinking tail? Are we so unmindful to forget the God that created us? Are we so blind to the God of wrath that we provoke him to jealousy with those which are not a people? that is, that are not God's people. The occult masters of mind control would have us believe that a non-Israelite can claim to be a Christian while embracing Muslims and making promises to Jews. What some call the Illuminati is merely a plan to pit these three major religions against each other in order to destroy them all, and thereby leave us with a godless one-world government. Marxist dialectics has been successful in creating three mutations of faith: Judeo-Christianity, Zionism, and the newly termed Islamofascism. Now, the logical synthesis of this triple whammy is the ecumenical movement, in which the brainwashed masses will merge into a one-world church. I have a feeling that Obama is on board with this scenario and that his loyalty is not with the black race or any other race, but is dedicated to a future homogenization of a one-world breed, also known as the often repeated misnomer, the human race, such as the hybrid that he typifies. The Jew Karl Marx said, "Take away the heritage of a people, and they are easily persuaded." God's law will be outlawed incrementally in this spiritually desolate world. A famine of hearing the word is the writing or graffiti on the wall. Some white nationalists seem to think that as this scheme plays out, other white people will wake up and do something. Unfortunately, this is wishful thinking and not taking into account God's role in the matter. It didn't happen in South Africa because the enemy anticipated a reactionary movement, and they understood the mechanics of God's blessings and cursings better than white secular humanist or white Christian universalist. And a racial consciousness is not worth a plug nickel if God is left out of the equation. Many are called, but few are chosen. That is why Christian Identity is the only movement blessed by the Almighty Creator to be His church militant. "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and I will render unto Babylon all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord." This is saying that the Obama nation of mongrelization and the false churches in America are going to be smashed. We will learn how to separate ourselves from evil in the midst of Babylon. This is how the white race prepares herself as the bride of Christ, and how the remarriage of God with Israel will emerge. Would Christ return to a slut whoring after mongrel gods? I don't think so. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Some of you know perfectly well what I'm saying and are prepared already, while others are playing their part to make this generation as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. Heart attacks can be caused by a fear of the future. If you think gas prices, rampant unemployment, and the utter corruption of church and state is bad, then wait till God shakes the very foundations of wickedness in high places. Quote, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven or government shall be shaken." We should be happy that a lot of things will be going down the drain as the kingdom of Christ gets closer to uplifting our national spirit and saving us from our enemies. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. No amount of mind control can subvert these unshakable thoughts. Hail Jesus the Christ, praying our Arian benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen.